Hello.
Ah, so Zoom now edits out claps.
Yes.
So I don't even know if like a moment of silence for ambient noise is
Yeah,
necessary
I don't
anymore.
really do the noise canceling anymore because I just rely on Zoom's noise canceling.
So I kind of but it's kind of become a ritual. So instead of clapping, I've decided that I'm doing a small scream.
Great.
Nobody should begrudging anyone a small screen now, in fairness.
That's true. We all need it every once in a while.
Every now and then you want a small screen. It's not socially acceptable to do a big screen.
Yeah.
Like you can probably in the middle of the woods at night, but that even that might attract like the wrong attention.
Yeah, you need to join one of those like primal scream therapy cults.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little low commitment. Like I tried improv, and even then, it's kind of a similar cult mechanism slash pyramid scheme. But the group chat was just too much for me. Like
Oh, the group chats.
there's so much social interaction, and I was working. Like, I wasn't working a no phones job. I was working a bullshit civil service data entry temp job. But, I had to, like, at some point in my day, actually work, if not very much. And when I would, like, put my phone down for 90 minutes and then check it and come back to, like, 107 messages. And I'm just like,
Yeah, I'm in a chat like that that I occasionally check but just have permanently muted because otherwise it's just like, yeah, every time I look at it's like at least 90 new messages.
But these people, this is where they were organizing rehearsals as well. So I was
Oh
just like
no.
scrolling, had to go scrolling through back, and I'm just like, I imagine the primal scream people are also quite expressive. And that tends to be, just too much of a group chat for me. So I'm just microdose screaming instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, we're back.
Hello, it's been a while. How are you
Yeah,
keeping? That's a very nice haircut.
life is busy.
Yeah, life do be lifin'. Life continues, sometimes relentlessly.
Yeah, and this kind of Monkey King news. So since the last time we recorded, a game came out that I really thought would never actually come out, Black Myth Wukong, which is big. This is a like big, expensive, fancy, show-offy, game.
Is this what the children call a AAA production?
Yes.
I know terms.
Yes, and it's a partially a big deal because it's like a very it's a rare like very big kind of AAA single player like console focused, not like phone focused game coming out of China. And I was gonna check it out for like obvious reasons of even just like oh it's about Journey to the West, let's see this, and I was just like. I've decided not to bother because of just like seeing a bunch of articles about the developers of the game being just like the studio is just like seems to be headed by just rampant misogynists.
This seems, from what I know of games, this seems like a not uncommon thing. I don't play them myself because as I was discussing with Quiva before we started recording, technology keeps changing and I refuse to enable it. So what I'm actually doing is I'm recording this through a walkie-talkie that
Yeah.
Quiva has cleverly managed to hook up to a speaker playing directly next to her microphone
Yes,
from
exactly.
my shack in the woods.
But yeah, just to give a slight example of one of the things that's come out about them. They apparently had like there was a bunch of like recruitment posters for the studio, one of which apparently said like trans this is translated obviously, but apparently it said like fatties should fuck off is the translation that IGN used.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we're not doing a playthrough for the Patreon.
Certainly not. Certainly not right now,
No.
anyway.
No. No.
No. In the actual main business of the podcast, I guess, we are on to chapter 81. We kind of left off in another big unintentional gap there in the middle of a kind of a storyline. So if you recall, there was a female monster who did not want to eat Tripitaka. She, in actual fact, wanted to fuck him, because that apparently also makes you immortal.
Yes, kids, we are talking about STIs, sexually transmitted immortality. And it might all seem like fun and games, but unless you're wearing a condom or taking doxy prep, you might end up outliving everyone you love and slowly seeing the joy fade out of the world as you get incredibly exhausted with the business of living. So, wear a condom, look into doxy prep. It's expensive, but for some people, it's worth it. I've heard.
Yeah. And I guess as a like content warning for this episode then, she tricks some people into like killing them by seducing them, and she seems to be doing this to like some like boys as young as like 12, I think.
Yeah, this is not a sexy or empowering situation.
Yeah, also there's a bit of misogyny.
Oh, well I mean that's typical of the book. So I guess, all the bullshit with the game is just true to the text. It's like the game equivalent of method acting, and it's still horrible.
Yeah. So to sum up what had been happening, the pilgrims were found a woman, kind of tied up in the woods. Wukong was like, "That's a monster. We should kill her or leave her." And Tripitaka was like, "No, it's a young girl. We have to save her." Wukong's like, "Okay, but if anything happens, I told you so." She is a monster. She wants to fuck
Yeah.
Tripitaka. To be to get immortal to get immor that se sexually transmitted immortality,
Yep.
and while they were traveling with her, they came across the sea pacifying Chan Grove Monastery, and they are fed a meal in the abbot's chambers, and lots of monks gather around, because the pilgrimage in Tripitaka is the most interesting thing that's happened in who knows how long, and also there's a girl.
And I'm guessing these monks haven't seen a girl in a while.
No.
Unless you count the sea, their true love.
So they're kind of in the middle of chatting, and Tripitaka wants to know what the road to the west is like, but the abbot has a more important concern. Hey, where's this girl sleeping? with the implication of, is she staying in the same room as you?
I mean, it's not very monkly.
Yeah, and Tripitaka is like, no, none of us are fucking her. We just rescued her. She was tied up in the woods. Feel free to put her anywhere in the temple you want. She doesn't have to be with us.
Anywhere at all, store behind a statue.
Yeah.
She folds up real neat.
Yeah, they set her up in they do set her up in like one of the halls, underneath some statues rather than in anyone's chambers. In the morning, when everyone wakes up, the pilgrims get ready to hit the road, but Tripitaka has come down with some sort of chill. He blames going out for a piss in the middle of the night without putting his cap on, and he's after like catching a cold or something.
No.
Yeah, so
He
he's
doesn't have the highest constitution score, does Tripitaka?
no.
No.
He's a delicate flower.
Yeah, hothouse flower. We respect it.
So yeah, he's bedridden for a few days. And on the third day, he says to Wukong, "Oh, I was so sick, I didn't even think to ask her, how's that girl we rescued doing? Has she been looked after?" And Wukong's response is more or less, "Who gives a shit? How are you doing?"
Yeah. Oh, Christ Almighty. Love how Wukong's character development seems to be just like he's developed impulse control through apathy. It's just kind of like, all right, well, this bullshit again. I'm too tired for this. I have 100% monster spotting rate, but. Okay, dude, whatever.
Yeah, real Cassandra hours.
I'm not looking after this monster lady. That's your problem.
So yeah, Tripitaka asks for a pen and paper. He wants to write a letter back to the Emperor to tell him, "I'm really sorry, I can't continue this pilgrimage." And Wukong's like, "Oh, come on, you'll be fine. You're just a little sick."
He's canonically kind of a doctor, so.
Even if you take a turn for the worse, the gods of death know better than to piss me off.
That's kind of true.
He's just full up, "Don't worry, even if you die, the Grim Reaper owes me a favor."
Yeah, they don't want me to Sun Wukong all over them again.
As long as I'm with you, you're not allowed to die.
I have a personal relationship with Death's manager, and he knows better. He knows better than to go through me.
Yeah, exactly. We get reminded of Tripitaka's backstory here. There's like a conversation between Wukong and the other pilgrims. In his previous life, he was the second disciple. So he was the in his previous life, he was the second disciple of Buddha, the golden cicada. And his mortal life is punishment for falling asleep during one of Buddha's lectures. And this
That
ill,
seems harsh.
yeah.
That seems a little. Why was he falling asleep? Like, is there some lifestyle concerns? Is this guy. It feels like if he's being punished to that extent, he may have been being worked too hard.
Yeah,
Why do none of the disciples have a union?
I don't know where Wukong's getting this information from, but he also says that like this specific illness is he that Tripitaka is like fated to suffer 3 days of illness because he also knocked over a grain of rice when he fell asleep.
Well, kind of a doctor.
Yeah,
Not
I don't know.
really. A herbalist at best.
Yeah, Baji is like, "Oh God, how much rice have I spilled eating over the years?" And Wukong's just like,
Your very existence is curse enough, both for you
he's
and the world.
just like, "But it doesn't care about you."
You are beneath notice, sir.
So yeah, Tripitaka asks for water. So Wukong grabs the alms bowl to go fill it up. And this is not anything of the point that's happening right now. I just want to remind you that the alms bowl they had is like a present from the Emperor of China, and it's made of gold. Like imagine you are like walking through town and you see a monk begging on the street, and he is holding out a bowl to beg with, and it's literally made of fucking gold. Like,
Platinum Starbucks cup is placed before you.
they're never going to get any donations with that, surely.
I don't know, maybe it's like, you know when you offer to pay for something and then people
I'm
pay
not
for
trying. I'm not
things?
trying to be, oh, a homeless person has an iPhone, all right. But they have a bowl that's made of gold. It's so impractical.
Also, as a gift, if you're gonna give a gold plate, it's kind of insulting. It's a little bit, money might be more useful. It's like, thank you, I will,
But
could you
they're not allowed to
possibly.
take money because they're like sworn to poverty.
Well, you know, they can be, you can divide it amongst them and you can spend it real quick, so then you're in poverty again. But spend it on like rice. They've got a horse, they can carry it, it's fine.
So while he's going getting water, he comes across some priests who are crying, and he jumps to the immediate and I feel strange conclusion that they're crying over how much it's costing them to keep like put up and feed the pilgrims for a few days, and he starts giving out to them over it. This is not why they're crying. They're crying because six other priests have died in the last 3 days.
It is not all about you, Tripitaka.
This is Wukong.
Or Wukong. Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought, you know, the transcending ego bit of monkhood was not being done well.
Yeah, no, th yeah,
But
this.
it's Wukong. What do you expect?
Yeah. Six lads have been killed and eaten in the last 3 days. So, there.
Huh.
Yeah, they didn't tell the pilgrims because they were like, well, Tripitaka is already doing really badly. We shouldn't give them a shock.
Yeah, again, the guy's got like minus four to constitution. But I guess like he's nearly been eating a whole bunch. He doesn't, you gotta have a thick skin after that. Otherwise you look too succulent.
So yeah, Wukong says he'll deal with whatever monster is doing this. The priests are kind of worried that he might fail and this will just piss off the monster more and it'll kill all of them. To which Wukong recites, Wukong is like, do you know who I fucking am? And recites an entire poem about how cool he is
Sun
and how he
Wukong.
fucked up he heaven so much.
No, like what's the equivalent of like someone who was like an absolute legend in UCD who's kind of going on and on about his partying days, and it's just like, look, you work in KPMG because your dad got you a job. You've got a beer gut because you haven't played rugby in years, but you still eat like an athlete. Just fuck off.
Yeah, Wukong's doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that night, he transforms into the form of like a young priest. The description is like 12 or 13 years old. And he goes
Oh.
around during the night chanting scriptures as bait. And the
I
wind,
don't like this.
yeah, the wind picks up and a beautiful young girl appears before him and starts flirting with him, and he calls her a dumb slut. Which is great.
Yeah, that's Wukong.
Yeah, so but she basically plays at seducing him. He plays along for a little bit.
With by calling her a dumb slut,
It's, don't worry about it.
he's so that UCD bro. Like they're very into negging.
He's checking
I've never once paid for cocaine, is what I'm trying to say.
her. Yeah, also importantly, the narrator co refers to Kong's dick as his stinky root. They do not go as far, they do not go as far as
I
actual
can
fucking.
feel the UTI.
Sorry. There's no, yeah, there's they don't go as far as actual fucking. He has no interest in that, in taking it that far. So when she like goes for that, he just turns back into his real form and attacks her, yeah. She pulls out two swords and starts fighting back. The narrator in a pair of poems about her explains that she is a white-furred rodent spirit. And he calls her a furry girl, which was just funny to read in the modern context.
Yeah.
So as usual, the fight goes on for a while, and she's able to hold her own for a bit, but she starts to realize she's getting tired, and he is not. So she decides to run. So she pulls a trick from Wukong's book. And as he's about to catch up with her, she pulls off one of her slippers and transforms it into a double of herself, leaving it just behind to distract Wukong, while she grabs Tripitaka and flies away.
Oh no.
Yeah. So when Wukong defeats the slipper, he realizes he's been tricked, and he flies back to the room that they've been staying in, and finds Tripitaka gone and just threatens to murder Wu Jing and Baji for being fucking incompetent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
He's very pissed over it.
Honestly, he had two bodyguards.
Yeah.
They had one job.
Wu Jing, manages to defuse the situation enough to calm Wukong down enough to agree to not kill them, so the three of them can all go look for him in the morning. So after breakfast, Wukong asks around, is that girl who we came in with still around? But they're like, no, she like disappeared like 4 days ago.
She's been dead for 7 years.
she's been dead for the exact amount, or she's been missing for the exact amount of time that people have been being killed and eaten. Wow, what a coincidence.
They're so misogynistic. I'm amazed that their first reaction wasn't just to blame the woman. Which, in this case would have been absolutely correct, but
Yeah.
still.
Yeah, Wukong gloats about having been right about her. And
He said he was going to be fair. He is nothing if not consistent.
yeah, so he concludes they should go back the way they came, because that's where they ran into her, and try and find a site for her. And he comes up with a novel way of summoning the local spirits to talk to. Like he's done spells for this before, this kind of thing. This time he just changes into his giant six-armed monster form and just starts fucking trashing the place until one of them shows up. And then is like, hey, why the fuck are you working with that monster that kidnapped my master? Why didn't you do anything about it? I'm going to fucking kill you. He's really pissed off.
To be fair, I would be too. A lot of this,
Could have been prevented.
it could have been prevented. The man has a, or the monkey has a, or the whatever, the Wukong has a 100% monster spotting rate.
Yeah.
You gotta respect that. It's expertise.
Yeah. So the local spirit tells him, that monster, she doesn't live here. She doesn't even go here. She lives in a mountain south of here in the Mount Void Entrapping.
Mount v Void Entrapping?
Yes.
Sounds like a lovely neighborhood.
Yeah, she lives in the bottomless cave there. So yeah, they all fly south together, including the horse, because it's a dragon, so it can do that, just not when it's carrying Tripitaka.
Yeah, he'd fall off. It'd be
Yeah.
sad. Be a much shorter book.
I mean, he's fallen off the horse a couple times anyway. He's been fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but he hasn't fallen off from like thousands of feet in the air yet.
Fair.
Yeah.
And when they reach the mountain, Baji order or sorry, Wukong. When they reach the mountain, Wukong orders Baji to scout ahead. And that is the end of chapter 81.
Oh. So to actually transmit it immortality, it's not worth the risk.
No.
No. She's not exactly a catch either. Not good.
Not great.
No.
She will be for I will say, like, for the next chapter or whatever, she will be focusing her attention back on Tripitaka. So she will only be trying to rape an adult man.
Oh, good. Well, guys, at least the horse got to fly, because I imagine he would have missed that. I think I would have. He used to flying around, and then, well, I guess he was imprisoned for a while, right?
Yeah, he was
Yeah.
imprisoned in like a river for a while until he became the horse.
Oh my God, then he must not have been able to fly in ages.
Yeah.
Good for him. I'm so happy for him. On that nice note, just close your eyes and think about haven't being able to fly after being denied that privilege for a long time. I bet he was dreaming about it.
Yeah.
You know that freedom. Good for him.
Thanks for listening. It's nice to do this again.
Yeah.
We have a Patreon. There is still technically a Twitter account, I guess. I post when there is episodes on there. I don't really post much else on it.
Oh, yeah. I'm still
Monkey King
technically on
Pod.
Twitter. I stayed because it was like the last days of Rome for a little bit there, and now it's like the middle days of 4chan.
Yeah, I don't really
Like,
use it anymore, but I have been reading a woman who for like the last week or so has she's like a big Matt Smith fangirl through like The Crown and House of the Dragon, and has started watching and live blogging Doctor Who, starting with the Matt Smith episodes, and had like no idea what the show was other than Matt Smith's the main character. And it's just been very entertaining reading her, like, losing her fucking mind every 5 minutes, experiencing Doctor Who for the first time.
Not my doctor. Always and forever, David Tennant. And he's so supportive of his trans kid.
You're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah, what? You're more of a Matt Smith girl? Come on.
Eccleston and Capaldi.
I Eccleston was great, but I didn't appreciate him until later in life. I appreciate his stance on the monarchy.
I fucking love the new series as well, though. It's nice that Doctor Who is good again.
I should check it out. I've been hurt too badly by
Fair.
Chris, what's his name? Not
Chris
Chilblain.
Chibnall.
Chibnall. Well,
Yeah.
he's Chris Chilblain in my heart. It's like having a Chilblain on my heart. You know?
I don't need to go. I've bitched about like the Chris Chibnall, Jodie Whittaker era of Doctor Who to enough times to people, probably on this podcast as well before, probably. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like being offered a bar of your favorite chocolate and then going, oh, good, I haven't had this in ages. I'm biting into it and finding out that it's not chocolate, it's both sidesing genocide.
Oh, God.
Anyway, goodbye.
Bye.